I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This hour, music and its use in therapy for the brain, which our guest says has evolved rapidly as brain imaging techniques have revealed the brain's plasticity, its ability to change, and to have identified networks that music activates. So the role of music in therapy has gone through some dramatic shifts in the past 15 years. Music as therapy has been around for a long, long, long time, hundreds of years. But now it is being investigated as a potential element of active learning and training. So we're going to be learning about the use of music therapy for stroke patients, for people who have Alzheimer's, for people who have memory issues, Parkinson's disease. Our guest is at the forefront of this whole field. Professor Michael Tout is a professor of music and a professor of neuroscience and past chair of the Department of Music, Theater, and Dance at Colorado State University. He's directed the Center for Biomedical Research in Music for 10 years, and his research focuses on brain function in music, especially time information processing in the brain related to rhythmicity and biomedical application of music to neurological rehabilitation of cognitive and motor function. He is a former professional violinist in the classic and folk genre and has toured Europe extensively with folk bands and chamber groups. We'll be welcoming phone calls for the professor. Our phone number on air is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655 for you to join our conversation. Professor Tout, thank you very much for being with us. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. It's my pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
Our pleasure, too. Why don't we, before we talk about all that's new, look at how music as therapy has been around for a long, long time in human society. How was it used early on?
The concept that music has some therapeutic value is probably, 2,500 years old.
Whoa.
In the Greek antique, they had certain, ideas. Music was mostly viewed as a science back then. Pythagoras, Aristotle, Plato, they all had things to say about the role of music, mostly from a sort of science, physics point of view, but they also valued the idea of music as sort of for character training, personality development. For some, it had some roles in the emotional well-being, although they were pretty skeptical of that. They didn't like this idea of catharsis and going wild and crazy listening to music. So it was more of a disciplined, kind of structured view how music can heal and how music can work with personality development. Plato wanted music and sports as the two main issues, the two main topics for the ideal education for his state. In the Middle Ages, music was still used in some ways as a sort of a healing, soothing, healing, balancing kind of idea. In the Renaissance and Baroque, some interesting, more physical concepts evolved that actually the vibrations of music would sort of vibrate into the pores of the body and can help release poisonous substances.
Oh, my goodness.
So it was a bit of a naive understanding of the physics of acoustics and how the body would heal itself. But, you also have to remember that bloodletting in those days was actually a very highly recognized medical technique. So that was the standard of knowledge back then. So, and then I think it drifted more into social psychological concepts of well-being, relationship building, some more of an adjunct kind of function to, help a person to feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, in some many ways, has lasted. And traditional music therapy still is based much on sort of social science concepts, very cultural interpretive, you know, how does the music make you feel? And that's where it has been in an adjunct role until we sort of try to really reverse that and look at music as a biological language of the brain and how that can actually have very different effects, but also it's a very different concept of how we look at music and therapy.
So we're moving from a soft kind of science to a hard science, is that fair to say?
Yeah, it's fair to say. Probably no science to soft science to hard science. But that's fair to say. Yeah, that's the trajectory. Yeah.
Well, in a recent paper that you wrote, you say that two findings stand out, and we'll get to finding number one in a moment. But the second finding is, and this is fairly amazing, the second finding is that music learning changes the brain. It changes the brain.
Yeah, all learning and training changes the brain. That's one of the big discoveries of the last 20, 25 years. The idea of that the brain, through environmental influences, can actually rewire itself. And that's interesting to see in high performance training, but it's also, of course, a concept that we try to adapt for rehabilitating the injured brain. So can we, with specific training and learning exercises, can we help the brain rewire itself so it creates new synaptic connections around injured parts of the brain, and other parts of the brain can take over functions that are lost. Mm-hmm. And that's really a very important finding, not just for the evolution of neurologic music therapy, but also it's a very important finding for neurologic rehabilitation in general. We can finally say that we actually have an opportunity, and we have an access to help people with brain injuries to actually get better, have a decent chance of recovery of functions, mm-hmm. rehabilitation.
And this has moved into a hard science area because of all the new brain imaging technology we have?
Yeah, I think that was very important because, you can learn about the human nervous system from animal models quite a bit, but, certainly very little about higher cognitive brain function life. And so the advent of brain imaging, the scanners, fMRI, PET, but also the further development of some other techniques like brainwave measurement through EEG, MEG, et cetera, that was very, very important to be able to, get much better picture on all of that. Mm-hmm. All of that.
And I know you've been doing special work when it comes to particularly Parkinson's patients and stroke victims when it comes to rhythm. What studies have you done in rhythm?
When we started looking at the status of music therapy sort of I started doing this as a PhD student at Michigan State a long time ago, early 80s. And my previous degrees were in music from Austria and Salzburg, violin and music education. And then I also had a German degree in psychology. So I played professionally music for several years. But the music therapy idea intrigued me because it seemed to sort of combine science and the arts. But at the state, back in the 80s, it was really, had not developed in that direction much. And I had some wonderful mentors back then who really pushed us in terms of think further, keep thinking how we can bring this ideal together. And I started thinking away from the more cultural interpretive well-being model of music, in terms of, music gives emotional support. Music is a wonderful adjunct to create a nice environment in the hospital itself, but it's really not core therapy. So I started thinking about how can music function as really core therapy? And one of the striking things that always had intrigued me, and I think most musicians are intrigued by that, is the function of rhythm in music learning. And how important that is, and how music communicates time and rhythm and motor learning in music without very good rhythmic abilities and rhythmic training is not possible. So I thought maybe this beneficial effect for the high performance people like me could also function in the opposite direction. So can the addition of rhythmic stimuli, simple things like a metronome to help a stroke patient coordinate their leg movements or a Parkinson patient, would that make a difference in how they their movement abilities? So we were shifting from a model of interpretation, how does the music make you feel, to a model of what elements in music can actually influence brain and behavior. And so we picked rhythm because that was the most obvious for me from an observational point of view. And so we created these hypothesis-driven studies. If we turn on a metronome or very rhythmically accentuated music, will a stroke patient walk better with better symmetry, better leg control, et cetera, et cetera? And mm-hmm. So this is how we stepped into a different view of music as sort of a sensory language for the human brain. Mm-hmm. And the effects were extremely dramatic. And we had not expected it to be so strong, and that the auditory system and the motor system are so closely connected that we can really, what we call entrainment, we can entrain movement in patients and make them walk better. Arm coordination, body coordination can really help them to recover and retrain some of these functions.
Remarkable. And you also talk about, and we've seen this with Parkinson's, that sometimes when it gets advanced, the movements are so hard for a human being to even move at all. But you've found that this works well for those who are in that stage of Parkinson's as well.
Yeah, we have seen, and there are actually not just our research group, but there's actually quite a few research groups now that have sort of stepped on that. We published the first papers in 96, 97, 98, but there are a lot of other research groups have been able to replicate that, which is good because that gives us a strong sense of validity. But yeah, the auditory rhythm, the musical aspect of that really works almost like a sequencer to help drive the motion continuously, so that they don't get stuck, they don't freeze up. And those are interesting findings. And, the internal movement generator in the brain is very deficient in Parkinson. And this sensory signal seems to be like an external driver that helps the brain to continue movement.
We're going to welcome phone calls. I'm sure that many of you are involved in the area of music, and some of you may be doing music therapy work. I know there's a large community working with Alzheimer's patients here in the Milwaukee area and probably all over Wisconsin to be able to bring forward memories. Our guest has done some groundbreaking work in the use of music as therapy, which he says is now a hard science, not just a soft science. I think we'll have a lot of audience questions and comments on this. We already do have several of you calling in and leaving comments. If you'd like to, go ahead. 800-486-8655 is our number. 800-486-8655. Our guest is Professor Michael Tout. He's scientific director of the Center for Biomedical Research in Music at Colorado State University. He's also a former professional violinist. He does classical music and folk music and continues to perform in small chamber and folk ensembles as time permits. He received the National Research Award in 1993 and the National Service Award in 2001 from the American Music Therapy Association. To you momentarily on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I don't know about you, but this hour is making me want to go home and play the piano, which is probably a good idea. KP Whaley is joining me in our studios here in Milwaukee. We're also in the last 40-so minutes of our asking for your support for this program during our winter membership drive. It ends today, this whole drive, so this is all she wrote for our show. And your gift of any amount will make a big difference. Give now, WPR.org, 888-202-255.
Yes, thanks to the 40 people who pledged last
hour.
Thank
you so much.
We did come up a little short on our goal, so we'd like to increase this hour's goal, and we need about 60 more people to call in. Make your pledge of support during this hour, during the Kathleen Dunn Show. 888-202 2552.
And think about just this hour, the use of music as therapy, which is groundbreaking research and so important to so many people. Just in, if you're trying to get stroke patients to be able to remember more, or Parkinson's patients to be able to move, it's really a fascinating field. And we sink our teeth into stuff like this all, not stuff, into wonderful subjects like this all the time.
That's right. We listeners crave that substance, and it's really not easy to find elsewhere. So that's really why you listen to this program, why you appreciate what we do here at WPR. If you appreciate that kind of substance, which is only possible really with your support, then make your contribution now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you can get one of those I Love WPR magnets as your thank you gift for your pledge of $60 or more, a large one and a small one. And here's how you give, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
I especially like the talk shows. Just having a host and a guest isn't good enough for me. I really like the interaction, and I have called in, but very rarely. I just enjoy hearing other people call in and share information. It's a wonderful source of news for me. I'm Barbara Gilmore from Grafton, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for all my news about our world.
Thank you, Barbara. Maybe you've heard that the proposed state budget includes a significant cut in state support for Wisconsin public broadcasting. You tell us that you value the lasting impact of public broadcasting programs, the news, the conversations, the music, and the entertainment.
And that's why Wisconsin Public Broadcasting, including WPR, is working hard to address the budget challenge as the process moves forward. Meanwhile, listener support really is more important than ever. So make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This is our winter membership drive. It is the last day of the drive, the last 30 minutes for KP and I to ask for your support of this show. Be your pledge, $5 a month, $100 a month. All we can say is we count on you and we appreciate you. Thank you.
Yeah, pledge drives are also important times to hear from new members. Are you a member yet? If not, take that step right now.
It's very easy. Any amount you can give makes you a member, and it takes only a few minutes to do it. You go to WPR.org, 888-202-2552, and make a contribution of, say, $5 a month. And when you do, you make the WPR programs you count on every day possible.
Yeah, whether it's politics or music is therapy.
There we go, music.
Whatever. Whatever your reason is for listening. Yeah, that is really nice.
Yes, it is.
Whatever your reason is for listening to WPR, that's the right reason to give. Maybe it's your love of the weekend shows. Maybe it's your love of classical music.
Yeah, maybe your love of politics. You name it. We talk about all the universe. We have the universe as our subject. So whatever your reason for tuning in, we invite you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. Listener support, your support makes WPR happen. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we do make making it very easy for you to support by just asking for your name, contact information, a little bit about why you'd like to give and how much you'd like to give to us.
Your gift supports the stories and the programs that keep you connected to the world. Here, an hour on music therapy. It's so interesting to learn about this from a gentleman who's at a forefront of the science and is also a musician himself. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And again, it's the last day for the winter membership drive. It ends at 6 o'clock tonight, so your financial support during this hour right now is really very important, more important than ever.
Your gift is a big part of what makes this program and all the programs you rely on and enjoy possible. Take action right now. Make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
55 more pledges to
go
before 3 o'clock, so get your gift in right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember those WPR magnets. They're yours for a pledge of $60, just $5 a month, at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And if you're a sustaining member, maybe you could think about increasing your support today.
Please.
Maybe just bumping that up $5 a month or whatever amount you choose. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Robin and Sam from Nisita say that we live without TV and the internet. This is our source of entertainment and information on a daily basis.
And it's a source for so many people around the state and around the surrounding of the state as
sure
well.
Is.
So if you appreciate that support, we appreciate yours at 888-202-2552.
Thank you very much. A little bit of music. Thank you, KP. We're talking about music therapy this hour of the program with Michael Tout. He's a professor of music and neuroscience and past chair of the Department of Music, Theater, and Dance at Colorado State University. He's also a former professional violinist in the classic and folk genre and has toured Europe with folk bands and chamber groups. We're welcoming phone calls. Our lines are just hopping here, so let's go right to phone calls for you, Professor, and start with Sam in Middleton. Hi, Sam. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Sure.
So, I was just wondering. I heard about the positive effects of music. I was wondering if, you know, every positive there's a negative. Is there the opposite thing? Has there been any hard science on perhaps negative effects of negative music?
No, the music we use, music, the system we developed, the treatment system is called neurologic music therapy. So, if you want to receive that as a treatment intervention, then you have to ask for neurologic music therapy. Those are music-based therapeutic exercises. There is no. If it's done right therapeutically and if it's done with the right diagnosis and the right patient group, then these exercises will benefit the client. We're not talking about, you know, listening to music and having a negative effect because, you know, metal, hard metal rock has bad emotional feelings. You know, that's not the type of therapy we're doing using music. So these are exercises that use the melodic, harmonic, rhythmic structures and patterns of the music to retrain attention, memory, facilitate speech recovery, and then also a very big portion of that is to retrain and recover the ability to move.
So tell me exactly, what is it you're playing then? Are you playing pieces of music or scales or notes or just rhythms?
You can play pieces of music as long as they're so structured correctly in terms of the speed and the movement. So walking, for instance, is a relatively sort of like almost like a pulse type movement with the left leg, right leg in symmetry. So the music that would support that kind of rhythmic feeling has a very strong pulse and symmetric pulse and beat feeling. So you can create that music yourself. You can create it live. Sometimes you can find a piece of music. We're not talking about, you know, the genre, like is Mozart better than Beethoven?
Right.
That's a totally different form of music therapy.
Mm.
So we are creating musical patterns that could be a song that pre-exists, that could also be sort of generated by the therapist to sort of guide and drive and regulate the movement.
Hmm. So you don't want to answer, is Mozart better than Beethoven?
Well, they're both good, but it has nothing to do with therapy.
Okay.
They're both great, actually.
Okay. Let's go next to Barb in Appleton. Hi, Barb.
Hello. Thank you for the program. It's wonderful. My question is, has this been experimented at all with people in comas to see if it helps them come out of the coma faster?
We have neurologic music therapists that work with patients that are what is now called disorders of consciousness, now that coma. Music is a legitimate stimulus to try. With that kind of patient population, it's extremely difficult to do any controlled studies because, you know, there is so little we understand exactly how the what the brain does in those kind of states. But people use music, and sometimes you can measure physiological responses, like in terms of the heart rate, breathing. Now people are trying to use brainwave measurements with coma patients and to see if there's any conscious processing. But that's probably one of the most complicated and most difficult population groups you can really work with.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me about what music does in both hemispheres of the brain and how that may be different than what happens with a spoken word?
That's a very interesting question. I think initially when we started doing brain imaging research with music, we were sort of looking for the specific areas that the brain activates, sort of the music areas, the musical brain. We couldn't find it. What we found is actually much more useful and much more interesting for any kind of learning and, of course, relearning and rehabilitation. Music is a very complex auditory language, and it really is processed in many, many multiple brain areas, from the cortex, which is the neocortex, which is the conscious level of the brain, all the way down to the spinal cord on a purely movement, physiological kind of view. So music activates and engages the whole brain in a very interesting, holistic way, but it also creates a lot of connectivity between different brain areas.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's interesting. In terms of both hemispheres, of course, and across the hemispheres, so the brain seems to be very engaged, from like a big ensemble, like a big orchestra playing together. Mm-hmm. When it listens to music, or when it exercises to music, or when the patient actually creates music. So that's important. And these areas that the music engages are not specifically dedicated. They are dedicated to a lot of things, you know, like speech areas, movement control areas, attention areas, memory areas. So, which is actually good because these are, especially when we work in brain rehabilitation, these are the areas we want to activate and engage and train. So music actually has a very profound, very deep and very wide effect on multiple brain areas.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for your call, Barb. Let's go to Gail in Fish Creek. Hi, Gail.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. This is fascinating. And I've been involved in vibrational healing, and with my artwork that I do, I work with vibration, and I have a way of infusing it. And knowing that with science being able to have new avenues to look at all this healing, it takes me back to the Om. And how the Om, enchanting the Om, actually is healing. When you emphasize the O in the Om in your Oming meditation, you vibrate your lower chakra glandular system. And when you Om with the emphasis on the M, you're vibrating the glandular system and your sinuses. So you're eliminating lactic acid, and you're actually moving your chi inside, and that's your support for your immune system. So I find this just fascinating that we've advanced this, and then your guest is doing all of this advanced healing, and that he's really expanding on his talents and his interests, and I think it's wonderful.
Have you studied chanting?
No. I think we're doing things a little different than the caller explained, so I don't really know much about that, but we don't work with vibrations or chants or these kind of things. We work with active. The only thing that really helps the brain to recover is active learning and training. We've known that pretty well for the last 20 years because, you know, brain rehabilitation has gone through many, many different stages. And the only way that we can, you know, address and access neuroplasticity is to very active learning and training. Simply like think of a patient like an injured athlete or musician. How will they recover their ability to play the piano again? Or how will an athlete recover their ability to whatever they do, gymnasts or rowing? So they need to train, simply to train. And so to recover the function, and we know that there's actually there are plastic changes in the brain associated with that kind of approach. So this is, we have to engage the patient in a very active learning and training environment to help them to regain their function, and then also to stimulate and access the, engage the underlying neurological function that carries and mediates that kind of, subserves that kind of function. So it's a little different, but
And just a reminder, just because we're in the last 20 minutes or so of our winter membership drive, I want to give you our pledge number as well. This is an important hour for you to pledge for our show because it's the last one of the drive, right? 888-202-2552 is the number, 888-202-2552. Let's go to Carol in Madison next. Hi, Carol.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. What I'm saying kind of relates to what Barb from Appleton said. In the early 90s, my father had a very serious stroke, and he was in the hospital, totally unresponsive, you know, no speaking, no waking up, no nothing. And we went to see him, and my daughter and I, and we brought a boombox and put his favorite composer on. It was Bach. And started the music, and within 10 minutes he woke up and spoke to my mother. It was just mind-boggling that, and you know, of course there's no way to tell, just as your guest said, it's very hard to figure out what caused it, but I have to say that there was something about that music. We had been talking and making noise and trying to communicate with him, and the music is really what seemed to awaken him.
Can that happen, Professor Todd?
Yeah, of course it can happen. Absolutely. And music is a very pervasive, a very complex auditory language. It's probably the most complex auditory language you have. I mean, if you look at the acoustical spectra of music compared to speech, speech is actually, you know, a fairly small kind of form of, sensory language. So it absolutely can happen. The only thing I wanted to say is we can really not predict that. I mean, we can predict that when we play rhythmic music at the right step rate or right speed to a stroke patient, that most likely they will improve their walking. We have done a lot of studies on that, and we can know that Parkinson patients will respond in their movement improvement to the right music-based exercises. But with that particular population, we can't predict. You know, it would be nice to say, I bring the bees again, and then they will wake up. Mm-hmm. That's all I wanted to say. That absolutely can happen, but it is not something we can, you know, really predict. And we don't have scientific data to say, there's a great likelihood. But this is a very pervasive sensory stimulus, music. You can't shut your ears off. You know, you can close your eyes, but the auditory system is always open.
Hmm. Well, welcome more phone calls in just a moment. Professor Michael Tout is our guest, and we're talking about music therapy and his specific kind of music therapy this hour of the program. It's really phenomenal, all that we've learned in the last 15 years. It used to be kind of a soft science, and now it's become, because of brain imaging techniques, a hard science. And so he has done neurological music therapy, has these techniques which, if they're not already, should be added as standard to rehabilitative care. He's a professor of music and a professor of neuroscience and past chair of the Department of Music, Theater, and Dance at Colorado State University. He's director of the Center for Biomedical Research, and he's also a former professional violinist. What more could you ask for a guest talking about this topic? We'll take more phone calls in a moment. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kathleen Dunn with KP Whaley, and this is the last day of the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive, last 20 minutes of our asking you for your support for this show. This drive powers the programs that keep you informed on so many topics all the time. This is how public radio works. The people who use it help pay for it. You've been meaning to give, well, do it now. On the last day of the drive, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's right. You can be one of the 33 more pledges we're hoping for in the next 20 minutes or so. So give to WPR to support the programs that you rely on, like the Kathleen Dunn Show. Your last opportunity to pledge for Kathleen's show is now. Thank you. If you've already given, if you haven't, the time is now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We keep you informed and entertained every day. Mary and Tim from Chippewa Falls say, we love to listen to WPR. The variety of programs is awesome. Indeed it is. Joy Cardine, Larry Miller, Zorba Pastor on Your Health, all kinds of programs, old time radio drama. Well, what a mix.
Yeah, it is. Radio Lab, I love that show. WPR really does kind of give you a window on the world like no other, and support for that comes from you. Support the exciting mix of shows that you enjoy on this station with your contribution. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You give to WPR to support the programs you love. And as an added incentive, we have something special during this winter membership drive. When you give $60 or more, that's $60 or more, $5 a month, ask for the I Love WPR magnets.
$5 a month gets you one large and one small magnet. You can stick one on your car, share it with your neighbors, wave to them as you drive by. You can put one at your fridge or your workplace. And you can ask for those magnets again when you make a pledge. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Listener support, you may know, is the biggest slice of our budget pie. So while all other funding sources, the state and federal governments and businesses, are important, it's your contribution that makes a huge difference.
And maybe that contribution will just be $10 a month. Maybe it will be $110 a month. Whatever the amount really is the right amount. And many of us are really committed to making our communities better. Maybe you volunteer your time. Maybe you recycle. Maybe you help others. Making a financial contribution is another way, because Wisconsin Public Radio makes it better for our communities.
You like the music, don't you? You just sort of stopped and heard it for a moment. We're talking about music therapy this hour, and it's a really, there's phenomenal interest in this topic too, so we thought we'd put a little music into this mix. Your investment, together with donations from others, makes music news and talk on WPR available to everyone. We're proud to be an important part of the Wisconsin community, and I know that you're proud to have us here. We need your pledge of support. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. We're looking for 30 more pledges. We can do this
before
3
pledges.
O'clock.
That's right.
We can do it.
It's really the easiest way to make sure that the support for WPR is current is to become a sustainer. And when you become a sustainer, you can just give $5 a month, and it will automatically renew every year. Make the switch. Make the difference. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Once in a while, you actually get more than you pay for. WPR is one place where that is true. Consider a gift of $2 a day to support all of the programs that you love.
You do get more. You listen to Kathleen. You weren't expecting to listen to classical music also,
I know you
weren't.
I wasn't expecting you to. This was KP's idea, and I love it.
It is hard to buy much for $2, but at Wisconsin Public Radio, $2 a day creates a lot of learning, beautiful music, and news and talk programming. So that works out to just $60 a month if you think of it that way. Make a gift now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That is 888-202-2552. We have this wonderful, which is so pertinent to this hour's conversation, too. Loretta from Eau Claire said, my husband needed to be in long-term care for a number of months, and the nurses would put on WPR on the iPad in the beginning of the morning and kept it on all day. It kept him in touch with reality, and it's a wonderful touchstone with what's going on in the world when you can't get out. Mm. How true that is. Oh, this
Absolutely.
Is, yeah. It was so important to us and wonderful company to me now that he's gone.
Mm.
Wow.
WPR, changing people's lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And only can do that with your support. So pledge now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you so much, KP. Thanks for all the great programs that you bring us. Thanks to Scotty Myers as well. And thanks to our guest. This is really an interesting conversation on music therapy and how far we've come in this area, why it's a hard science, how it's being used to help in the rehabilitation process. And our phone number on air is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Kathleen in Waukesha is our next caller. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, good afternoon. This is going to sound very strange because I see music therapy from both sides now. In 1967, I have a sister who was diagnosed with a red blood cell disorder, the opposite of leukemia, which is a white blood cell disorder, and it was very dangerous, and she wasn't given much time to live. And I come from a very musical family where when I was five, I asked my mom, how come my favorite Christmas song I never heard on the radio? And she said, well, honey, because that's because Mama wrote it. And we were the only family I ever knew who had two pianos, one upstairs, one downstairs, and we had a sign-up list, and everybody had would be fighting over, get off the piano, it's my turn to practice. And we had 24 instruments for six kids. We all did band and piano and that sort of thing. My sister, at age eight, sang, and then we all did music, too. One of my brothers sang with Fred Waring and the Pennsylvanians. My sister, at age eight, was performing as the little girl in Annie Get Your Gun in our high school production of the musical. Our mom left after that last Sunday night performance. They went to, let's call it the Mayo Clinic, and on Tuesday she had a bronchoscopy. It closed. She died on the table and then survived. And the ultimate is this child of eight, when at age nine in our school, when you were in third grade, was when you could join the band. She insisted upon taking a flute with a tracheotomy in her neck.
Oh,
she's possibly the only person in the world to have done that. And when she would have a cast on from her armpits all the way down to her ankles, again at the Mayo Clinic, she'd have them flip her on her stomach, put her on her cart, and wheel her to the piano up there where she would entertain the people for hours while she's struggling to stay alive. Music gave her more than just a meaning and purpose. She did not go into remission until she was graduating from UWM under the guidance of Dr. Leo Muscatavich with her degree as a music therapist.
What a story.
And I mean, this is such a personal issue for me that I have nieces. One nephew has written 17 books on piano music for children. One niece directs music, Lee Choir in Madison. Mm-hmm. And it started with our parents.
All right. I'm going to need to hold you there, Kathleen, just because we have so many people coming in a limited time. But what a fabulous story. This field is filled with stories like that, too. Incredibly inspirational. And thank you so much for your call. Let's go to Tony in Green Bay next. Hi, Tony.
Hi. How are you this afternoon?
Fine, Tony. How are you?
I'm coming along reasonably well.
Good.
I'm calling because I would like to improve my memory and attention in particular. And I was wondering if there was anything that I could personally do.
What do you think? Take piano lessons, Professor?
The neurologic music therapy, you know, addresses, you know, people that have some, you know, really injuries to the brain and they have memory loss. I'm not sure if I understand it correctly, but to generally just improve memory, I think, anything just memorizing is a great brain exercise. There's no trick and no secrets behind it. And music, memorizing music, learning how to play music, that definitely helps memory. That's very clear.
Mm-hmm.
Is it therapeutic? That depends on the condition of the person that you're talking to. I mean, this could just be a fun exercise to help a healthy brain to stay healthy.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is slightly off the topic, but maybe not completely. We can weave it into something that's on topic. I've always wondered, somebody told me once, and I think it was a piano teacher, that the process of being able to read piano music and translate it into moving your fingers on a keyboard mm-hmm. is extraordinarily complex.
Right.
And I would think that it would strengthen your brain. But he also said, maybe we know now, we don't even know how we can make that happen.
Well, we know how we can make that happen. Is it complex? Yes, it's very complex. If somebody plays the first few minutes of a Liszt sonata, you know, they play several thousand notes in 2 or 3 minutes. As I said, music is a very complex language that stimulates, really engages all the parts of the brain. The translation from looking at piece symbols and then learning where they are on the keyboard and then learning how to move the fingers. That is a very complex process, and it does take a lot of time. We know that with string players and with keyboard players, that training in order to accomplish a certain level of proficiency, potentially professional, you have to start before age 10. That's the other instruments you can become quite good later. But those particularly complex instruments like keyboard and string instruments, you have to start wiring the brain very early on in life.
Mm-hmm.
Usually age 10 seems to be sort of like a breaking age.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for your call. What's next? What's the next frontier after where you are now, moving this into hard science? What do you hope to accomplish next?
I think we have the treatment system of neurologic music therapy, which is different than general music therapy, that's well established. The science is for most NMT techniques quite good. Basically, two things. One is we need to obviously continue to research. There are clinical populations that have not been researched enough,
mm-hmm.
autism, traumatic brain injury, for instance, come to mind. We need to do more research with the brain recovery for traumatic brain injury. We need to do more work with trying to help developmentally autistic children with music and neurologic music therapy. The other big challenge, frankly, is we need to, and we have been training through our NMT Academy clinicians to do this.
Mm-hmm.
We showed our really breakthrough papers at the World Congress of Neurology in the mid-90s, and the questions always came, who can do this?
So there are jobs, and I need to end this at this point because we're in the final 2 minutes, so there are job possibilities in this area too, to boot. Addition to this being fascinating. Thank you so much, Professor. We need to ask for money. Thank you so much for being with us. It was really interesting.
Welcome.
We'd love to have you on again sometime. Music therapy and hard science in music therapy. We're almost at the end of asking for your support for these hours. Today's the last day of our pledge drive. KP Whaley is joining me in our studios here in downtown Milwaukee. All of your calls and your donations are so, so important. important, and we thank you for all of your gifts. We'd like to get 22 more of you to give a gift during this hour, and then we'll be even happier than we are now, and we're pretty happy. We'll be really happy.
We are. We're having a great hour. Thanks to all who have pledged. Nothing really goes to waste here at WPR. Your gift right now is still needed and still appreciated. The better our fundraising goes right now, the better we're able to plan for the future. So pledge now, WPR.org or 888-202-25552. And as Kathleen said, this is the last chance for Kathleen's show. If you like Kathleen, go to the phones now, 888-202-2552.
And it is true. We're having a great pledge drive. Thank you to everyone who's making it so successful, and that's many of you. As KP said, the more money we're able to raise now, the more we can focus on all of these programs that you love, like the one you just heard. It was fascinating. Let's play the piano. It's all whole new science. Keep all this momentum going with your pledge at WPR.org, 888-202-2552. 21 more pledges this hour. That'd
21.
Be great.
And we picked up 11 new first-time pledgers this hour, 11 last hour as well. So thanks to the people who are pledging for the first time. If you haven't become a new member, do so. It's so easy. $5 a month to get started. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we want to thank you, all of you who have pledged. You may want to, if you've already pledged some time ago, you may want to use today and say, oh, I'd like to pledge again. That would be just dandy. It is the last 4 minutes or so for us to ask you for support of this program. This pledge drive ends today. It's been very good, but we need a very good pledge drive, as I think you probably know. So give now, and thank you. WPR.org, 888-202-2552 is the number. 20 pledges to go, KP.
20 pledges in about six more minutes. So give us a call, 888-202-2552. Support the programs you love, like Kathleen Dunn, WPR.org. 888-202-2552.
Thank you, KP, and thanks for all the terrific shows you produce. I just have such a good time, just about every day, such a good time, and learn so much. Thanks to Katie Madsen for doing on-air production, and Lisa Nalbandian for helping us out, and thanks to Scotty Myers, too.